All right. Tonight, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finished up chapter 3 last week, taking a look at Paul's concern over the Thessalonians, Christians, and just really concerned about them because really didn't get to establish the church like he would have liked to before he got run out of town. And he was blessed whenever he heard back from Timothy, as he sent Timothy there to check on the church and for Timothy to come back and find out how well they were doing. Their faith and their charity was just wonderful, and then they were greatly desiring to see Paul, just like he was desiring to see them. And it was just an encouragement to the apostle and caused him to really, I believe it just gave him an uplift in his own personal spirit and helped him just kind of have a little skip in his step, so to speak, and in his ministry because the Thessalonians were doing so well. And we saw how that he prayed for them, wanting to see their face because he wanted to perfect that might be lacking in their faith. But we know that he was in the Lord's steps, as far as he knew that when it was time for the Lord to allow him to be back there to see them again, the Lord would allow it to happen. He had been prevented. Satan had hindered him, but if the Lord wanted it done, he knew the Lord could accomplish that. Now, tonight we began chapter number 4 and verse number 1, and he does a furthermore. Okay, he's adding to what he just had to say there in chapter number 3. And I want to spend a couple of weeks here as we look at two items in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." He beseeched them. He asked them. It was really a kind of a begging. Really a little stronger than just asking. And exhort. He was encouraging them by the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, who ruled and reigned in these Christians' lives. He said that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk. And I want to spend a little time tonight looking at how ye ought to walk. How you ought to walk. I took from Paul's other books, as he told the churches how they were to walk, as he specifically used the word walk, and I believe that these are the things that he told them, just as he shared with other churches what the walk ought to be about. And I think we understand what our walk should be. Our walk should be like Christ, amen. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that is our example. We should walk after the Lord. Well, we'll turn to different places in Scripture and trust that you'll take time to turn with me. I'll try to give you an opportunity to get there. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 4. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 4, we'll see the first thing on how you ought to walk. Amen. Paul told the Roman Christians here that we ought to walk in newness of life. Amen. If you're saved by God's grace, you've been given new life. You've been given resurrection life, and that's the life that you're to walk in. You know, we still have that old flesh, don't we? We still have that old nature that's with us, but we have a new nature that now is side by side. We have the divine nature, and the Lord's desire for us to walk is not to walk like you used to walk, not to walk as other Gentiles walk, not to walk in the oldness of the life that we have, but to walk in the newness of the life that he's given to us. And that life is the resurrected life. Notice Romans 6, verse number 4. Let's back up to verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death? In other words, we are identified in Christ's death. We're identified, and He's fixing to say, in His burial here in just a moment, and we are to be identified in His resurrection. Verse 3 talks about being identified into Christ's death. That's what the word baptize, one of the meanings of it is to be identified with. When we are baptized in water baptism, we are immersed, we are identified with Christ. Yeah, we are identifying with Him. Look at verse 4. He says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. The picture of water baptism is a picture of what Christ did for us. He died for us. He was buried. He rose again. And He to never die again. What a blessing. We have that newness of life. And here He said that we should walk in that newness of life. Walk in the resurrected life. Walk in the life that Christ gives. It's not only the resurrected life, but He tells us it's an abundant life. Amen? That's the life that He has for us. Look at Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. And here's the second thing we find. Romans 13, verse number 13, He told the Roman Christians also, He says, let us walk honestly. Now let's back up and get the context. Look at verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And then He talks about the walk. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So when He's talking about walking honestly, He's talking about walking. You know, if you say you're a Christian, live like one. That's walking honestly, isn't it? That's walking honestly. And quite frankly, there's a lot of folks today who want to claim that they're saved, but they're not walking very honestly. I got friends on Facebook from high school days. And a lot of them claim to be saved. In fact, they'll talk a good talk for a little while, and then all of a sudden you'll find that they start using profanity or something. Start using things that are unbecoming of a Christian. That's not walking honestly. But to lead someone to think that you are in Christ, and then to walk contrary to what Christ is all about, that's not walking honestly. So we need to walk honestly. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 is that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. Talking about those that are outside of the faith. We're to walk honestly, especially toward them, amen. People have their eyes on us, don't they? People are looking. And we need to present a good testimony. They judge our Christ by us. They judge our church by us. They judge our faith by us. We say we have something. Let's show that we have something by walking honestly, walking what we say that we are. And then look at Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. How you ought to walk. This will go pretty fast tonight, but there's 10 of them. It's just the way that was what was taught in Scripture, primarily by the Apostle Paul, and we will take a look at some other passages of Scripture when we get to the end, to the conclusion. There were others that talked about the walk also, but we see here in Colossians chapter number 2. Notice verse number 6 and 7. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, and here it is, so walk ye in Him. We're to walk in Christ. How are we to walk in Christ? As you received Him as Lord. How did you receive Him as Lord? By grace through faith. See, the Christian walk is a grace walk. There's none of us can do it in and of ourselves, can we? We just can't. We got to have help. If we're going to live the Christian life, we're going to have the help of Christ. And just like we were saved by grace through faith, couldn't get it ourselves, we need the Lord's help. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, he told them, he said, well, we walk by faith, not by sight. So it's a walk by grace through faith. He talks about there in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Well, who roots and builds us up in Him? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. It's the Christ Himself active in our lives, right? He establishes us in that faith, and He gives us teachers. He's the one that gifts folks to teach us and to establish us. And so we need to keep that in mind. Okay, walk in newness of life, walk honestly, walk by grace through faith. This is another one that you'll recognize too. Flip back to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And a lot of these are related one to another. There's overlapping in what's being said, and that's good, right? It gives us another way to say it, but also gives us another way to look at it. Galatians chapter number 5. And verse number 16, very familiar. And then we're going to look at verse 25 also, Galatians 5, verse 16. I'm getting the right place here. There you go. Turning one page too many. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, how many of you like to not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Everybody on board with me? That's what we don't want to do, right? Well, he kind of simplifies this process of walk in the Spirit. Now we know that's a taller task than just saying it, right? Walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You look at Galatians 5:25 there. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk being led by the Holy Spirit of God that God has given to us when we got saved. If you are born again tonight, you have the Holy Spirit of God living within. And one of the reasons that God gave us the Holy Spirit of God was to allow us to be able to walk in the Spirit, to guide us in our direction. He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that guides our steps. And He is the author of this book. And so if we're to walk in the Spirit and to understand how we're to walk, we can understand it from the Word of God that that the Spirit of God authored. And then look at Ephesians chapter number 2. One page over to your right there, Ephesians 2, verse number 10. We find number 5 here. And we just recently dealt with this in a Sunday morning service. I say recently, it's probably been several months, but it's not been too long ago. But it says there in Ephesians 2, verse number 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, notice, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So walk in good works. God expects us to do something. Amen. And the something He expects us to do is good. And there's nothing good that's not godly, right? And so we're to walk in good, godly, good works. And you'll find that also throughout Scripture. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 there at one page over. And here we find number 6. And that is walk worthy. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, what vocation is he talking about? Now, he's not talking about, your job that you're working. You know that your primary vocation as a child of God is that of being a Christian. The pay is later. Amen. We don't get paid on Friday with that one. You got a job that you work, or some of you retired from a job that you used to work, and that you say, well, that was my vocation. That's how I made my living. Well, this is not the vocation he's talking about. He's talking about our vocation as a Christian. If walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We're called to be the sons and daughters of God, right? We're called to be the children of the Lord. And we're to walk worthy of that vocation. How would you expect a person who is a child of God to walk? Like the Father, right? Like their Father. Expect them to be that way. And that's why he talks about there with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. A couple other places he mentions this too is Colossians 1:10. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And there comes the walking in good works again, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then in a passage that we've already dealt with in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So there's several different places where we're told to walk worthy, and walk worthy of our vocation, walk worthy of the Lord, walk worthy of God. It all means the same thing, folks. We walk like what you are. If you call yourself a Christian, walk like a Christian. And then Ephesians 5, again, look at verse number 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, verse number 1 and 2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Of course, Christ is the example. He's the ultimate example of love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, right? And Christ did that for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful thing. But we're to walk in that same love, the love that he loved us with. We're to love one another with. And John 13, verse 35, 36, you talked about that was our badge. That's what shows others that we're a disciple, that we belong to him. And not only are we to love one another, we're to love others who don't even know him. Amen? To get the gospel to them. And then number 8, we see here, look at Ephesians 5 and verse number 8. You're there in Ephesians 5, look at verse number 8. So, let's tell you what let's do. Let's read from verse 4 on down, verse 3 on down. And pick up the context here, because it really is keyed into what he's talking about next. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Okay, those things don't have anything to do, shouldn't have anything to do with somebody who's a child of God, being involved in fornication and uncleanness, or being involved in covetousness. It ought not be named among us who become saints. Unfortunately, it is sometimes, isn't it? Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, who hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Yeah, we know that the wrath of God is going to come on those that that's their character. They do such things. So we ought not to be any part of that. That's why he says in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't be a co-participant. That's what that word partaker means. Don't be a co-participant. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There it is. Okay, our walk is to match up with our talk. We say we're a child of God. Walk like a child of God. Don't walk like somebody that's still in darkness. Amen. And let's take a look at what the Apostle John had to say about this. Tell you we're going to take a look at some others. Hold your place there in Ephesians 5 because we're going to be back, okay? But look at 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 6 and 7. Well, we'll take a look at verse number 5, too. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse number 5. He says here, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." He's talking about they heard this of Jesus, and he's declaring the message that he heard from Jesus to us, that God is light. Notice, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Somebody that's walking in darkness cannot have fellowship with God. You can't be in fellowship with God and walk in darkness. That's what he's saying. But it's verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We walk in the light. That's what God would have us to do. Walk in the light. When you walk in darkness, you stumble around, don't you? So the wicked is the troubled sea that can't rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, is the way that Isaiah put it, I believe. And he also talked about how he knoweth not at what he stumbleth at, you know. And the way of the wicked is as darkness. He knoweth not what he stumbles at. And listen, it's the same way in our lives. If you're going to walk in darkness, friend, you're going to stumble around. Walk in light because you are a child of light. Now, back into Ephesians 5, several of the walks there in Ephesians 5, we saw walk in love, walk in light, walk circumspectly. Look at chapter 5, verse number 15 and 16. Look what he says there. He says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." What does it mean to walk circumspectly? Be aware. Okay, when you're walking circumspectly, you're paying attention to what's going on around you. You're not like we get sometimes. You ever get behind the wheel of a car and you've not been circumspect? You travel about 10 miles down the road and you don't remember how you got there. Your mind's been wandering. You've been off in la la land, and then all of a sudden you're kind of out of it, and it's like, boy, I'm glad I didn't have a wreck during that time. Not circumspectly, is it? Aware, awake. In fact, he just talked about being awake there in verse 14. He says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly." Be aware. Look around. Don't walk like a fool. Be wise in your walk. Walk as wise. And that brings us to the last one. And that is to walk in wisdom. Look at Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians 4 and verse number 5 and 6. And this is really a sister passage to what we just read. He said, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." Those are without the Lord. Be careful how you walk. Walk in wisdom toward them, redeeming the time. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man." Walk in wisdom. Now, he's not talking about worldly wisdom. He's not talking about, well, you need to read all the Encyclopedia Britannica and get a bunch of knowledge in there so you could, talk about anything that's going on. Now, he's not talking about, you need to keep up on the latest news that's going on so you can talk about that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the wisdom of God. Walk in wisdom. Walk in God's wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Let's turn back to 1 John chapter number 2. And I want to conclude in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Okay, these are not Paul talking, but as I said, we were going to end with taking a look at some other what some others had to say that really just really lines up with what we're talking about tonight. 1 John chapter number 2, and look at verse number 6. He says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples they should abide in him, didn't he? John chapter 15 is the abiding chapter. You ought to take some time to read that. You know, abide in me. And, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You know, he talks about that abiding relationship. And here, of course, the Apostle John, he said, "He that saith that he abideth in him," if you say that, you know, "I abide in Christ." Well, if you abide in him, then your walk ought to line up and walk even as he walked. Look at 2 John in verse number 6. 2 John verse number 6. And of course, we've already seen that we are to walk in love. That was one of the points that we made. But let's look at verse number 5 and 6. "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." That we're to walk after our Lord and Savior's walk. We're to walk after his commandments. Look at the little book of 3 John and verse number 4. This is what he had to say here. He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Well, see, all these things are dovetailed, aren't they? I mean, they just are all together. When you're talking about walking in newness of life, that's walking the Christ life in it. We're talking about walking honestly. You're talking about walking as a child of God, not like an unbeliever. You're talking about walking by grace through faith. All of this is tied together. Walking in the Spirit, walking in good works, walking worthy, walking in love, walking in light, walking circumspectly, walking in wisdom. May God help us to walk. And the Apostle Paul, I believe that he not only shared this truth with these truths that we talk about, and I believe he further elaborated on them more than even what we see in the books that we've taken a look at tonight. But I think it's just different ways of saying the same thing. Amen? And he said, you know, "Ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God." You've received of us how you ought to walk. And tonight you've received of me from the Word of God how you ought to walk. Amen. Let's walk as children of light. Amen. Let's give forth in these last days. I know it's tough. Times are tough. Increasingly wicked around you. Trying to maintain your testimony is a constant battle that you're going to have to face. If you don't put on the whole armor of God, you're not going to be able to do it. We are to take, though, and we understand that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives, and we are to walk in the way that he would have us to walk. Amen. We don't walk after our own way. An ambassador represents the one who sent him, and he's a representative is what he is, and we're God's representatives here. And let's just keep that in mind. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not one of his representatives. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're not saved. You're walking in the ways of the world. You can't walk after Christ. Impossible. Because you can't walk if you don't have that newness of life. You got to have the newness of life to walk in newness of life. And, you may be able to turn over a new leaf, but That new leaf will dry up and crumble just like all the old leaves will. We need to walk in the power of what Christ has given us. And if Christ's not given you life yet, come and receive it tonight. Let's bow in prayer tonight. Father, we just thank you so much for the Apostle Paul and how he was such an encouragement to these churches that he established and helped get on the solid ground. His great concern for them, his teaching of them is, Lord, helpful to us. And these things that we've seen from the various epistles that he wrote and things that others have wrote, Lord, I think we've said this in enough ways that we can garner an understanding in our hearts and our minds of how we really ought to walk. And Lord, the Word of God is a help to us. The Holy Spirit's a help to us. Other brothers and sisters in Christ that would exhort us, just like the Apostle Paul was exhorting them, can be a help to us. Lord, help us to put to use all the resources that you've given to us to walk in your ways. Help us to be a good representative of you. Lord, may we not be like some in the world who claim to know you, Lord, and in actions they deny you. Lord, help us to be consistent in our walk and in our talk, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.